family radio station in North Georgia.
It's 8:30 and time once again for the Bible broadcast with Evangelist Keith Allison.
Well, greetings, friend, and welcome again to the Bible broadcast. This is Keith Allison of Demarest, Georgia. I am doing the work of an evangelist, and I'm honored today to have you to tune in and listen to the Bible broadcast. This is a radio ministry. We are under the umbrella of the Fairfield Baptist Church in Demarest, Georgia, where my wife and I are members of, and we thank God for the good church there at Fairfield and their continued support of this Bible broadcast ministries. And then I want to say thank you to all of you who support us, and those, we've got some folk that give us money on a monthly basis, and we're so thankful for that. I just want you to know that without your support, we could not be on the air. And then I also want you to be assured that the money that you give, it goes for the purchasing of radio time. We do not take any type of salary or expense other than just what the expense of this ministry is. Occasionally, we have to buy CDs. We have to buy some CD mailers and then, of course, the radio time. And then I pay for a P.O. box at the post office, and that's basically all the expense other than some stamps that we have. And so we're just grateful that God allows us to stay on the air through the good support and the prayers of His people. And if you can't support us financially, that's fine. All I want is God's will to be done, and you do what He wants you to do. But I do know that you can pray for me. It won't cost you a dime. It won't cost you a stamp. Won't cost you anything but just a few moments of your time to lift this preacher and his wife and this radio ministry up in your prayers. And I assure you, at the judgment seat of Christ, if there is anything good that comes out of this ministry that will be rewarded for, then I assure you that you'll share in that blessing of that reward because of your prayers and your support of this ministry. Let me remind you that you can go to my website. That'll be KeithAllisonMinistries.com. Again, KeithAllisonMinistries.com. That's all lowercase letters. We'd love for you to visit the website. You'll see our short-term itinerary as well as the books that I have written. And let me encourage you to go to my website and order those, and I believe they'll be a great help and a great blessing to you. I have one on the home, Bible Truth for Marriage in the Home. This is a great book that you ought to put in the hand of those that you know that are going to get married. Every young couple ought to have one of these, and it's a good read for you folk that have been married a long time, amen. But I just deal with what the Bible says about a scriptural marriage, and then a brief section on raising children. And the Lord opens the doors for me usually every year. I preach a few family conferences or marriage conferences, whichever they want. And I go into a church and preach 3, 4, 5 nights on the home. And this book is the material mostly that I try to cover. I deal with it from the book of Genesis, and then also from the book of Ephesians, and it'd be a great read. I've got a lot of pastors across the country that have used my books, and they've literally taught through them on the particular subjects that the book is, using it as a study guide. My little books have been used as guides for youth, for a youth group, and for Sunday school classes as well. I have a book on spiritual gifts. I go through all the New Testament gifts that the Bible talks about. I show you which of those are no longer for this day. They were simply for the apostolic times. And then I show you those 9 permanent gifts that you and I and others exercise in these days. I deal with speaking in tongues. Amen. I give you the truth of that. And so you don't want to miss that read. And then I have a book on the doctrine of sanctification. The subtitle is God's Method for Changing Your Life. And I deal with a subject that you very rarely hear anything said much about. We are saved, amen, and we're going to heaven. But God also wants us to be sanctified. And that word sanctified means to be set apart. It means that God wants us to grow and to mature and to become the Christian that he wants us to be. And that book deals with that. And so if you'll go to my website, KeithAllisonMinistries.com, and you can click on to the link there, and you can order those using your debit or credit card. And I think they're listed for about $7.99 each, plus shipping, tax and shipping out of Fincastle, Virginia. And then, or either you can call me and we'll try to mail them to you. You can email me at KeithAllisonMinistries@gmail.com. And then at the end of the program, I'll give you a mailing address, I'll give you a phone number, and I'll restate my website at the end of the broadcast. All right, last week I began a little two-part series on the tragedy of unconfessed sin. And last week I basically gave an introduction. I was talking about the reality of unconfessed sins. And I gave a little introduction last week, and I talked about how that all are sinners and all need saving. And then when someone gets saved, I pointed out that that does not eradicate or remove the sin nature. And so that believer, he is a new creature in Christ. He is a new creation, but at the same time, he still has that indwelling sin nature, and he has to deal with it. That's why the Bible tells us to walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's why God gave us Romans chapter number 7, where Paul showed us the struggle between the flesh and the Spirit. And so God wants us to, as a believer, to recognize that we have a sin nature. I pointed out that according to Proverbs 28:12-13, that we can confess our sin or we can try to cover them up. And by covering them up, let me say this, people, number one, they try to hide them. Number two, they try to deny them. Number three, they simply rename them. It's like instead of saying that a person is a drunk, we use the term alcoholic. It kind of lightens it up a little bit. So we try to hide them. We can try to deny them. We can try to rename them. Or we can simply try to justify them. In other words, to say, well, it's okay. It was a special case and I'm different and all of that kind of stuff. Now, let me say this. When you go back into the Word of God, you'll find out that Adam and Eve tried to hide their sin. Amen. The Bible said that they covered themselves with aprons made out of fig leaves, and then they hid among the trees. When they heard the voice of God, they hid. So Adam and Eve tried to hide their sins. We also find, friend, that Achan tried to hide his sin. He tried to cover it up. He buried that treasure under his tent, in his tent in the ground. He tried to cover up what he'd done. And then we find that David, after he had committed sin with Bathsheba, he brought her husband Uriah back from the battlefield, and he was hoping that he would spend the night with Bathsheba so it would be evident that the baby that she would be carrying would be his and not David's, but the plan didn't work. Uriah would not go in unto his wife while the rest of his comrades were on the battlefield. And so David was trying to hide his sin, but God exposed it. And let me say, neighbor, that as a believer, you may try to hide your sin, but God has a way of bringing them out of the closet. Isn't that amazing? God has a way of bringing them out of the closet, and God has a way of exposing your sin. And then let me say this, in 1 John chapter number 1 is where we're preaching from. In 1 John chapter 1, the Bible said, verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Now that lightness, Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Amen. And so even from Genesis chapter number 1, we find out that light is that God produces, and light overcomes darkness. And so we see, he said, he's talking about light being in the sphere of God's kingdom, whereas darkness is in the sphere of Satan's domain. He said, if we say that we have fellowship with him, now watch, if we say that we have fellowship with him, my, what does that fellowship mean? It means that we're talking with him, we're walking with him, we're in unison with him. You know what it means, amen. If you're in fellowship with somebody, but if that fellowship is broken, you aren't talking, you're miffed or he's miffed at you, something's between y'all. So if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, that is, if we walk not in the light but in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. There's three lies that man makes concerning sin in 1 John chapter number 1, verses 6 through 10. The first one is, man lies about his fellowship. If we say that we have fellowship with him, in other words, if somebody says that they're right with God, that everything's okay between them and God, they're in perfect fellowship, but yet they're walking in darkness. Now that means that they are living in sin. That means that they're walking. It is a present state. They're walking in darkness. They have unconfessed sin. They're doing something that's not right, and they're not getting rid of it. I'm going to use a real simple illustration that seems to be invading our churches today, and it's a subject of men and women living together without being married. They're just shacked up. And I know case after case after case where folk will come to church, they're hiding it, they really don't want nobody to know about it, and some don't care if you know about it, but yet they're living together, they're not married, but yet they'll testify as to how right with God they are and how they love God and God loves them and everything's okay. Friend, that's not so. It can't be. I mean, friend, if I read my Bible right, they're living in fornication. I mean, they're actively living under the sin and in the sin of fornication, neighbor. And so if they're living in that sin, I'm not talking about committing an act and then getting forgiveness for it and then going on in your Christian life. That I know sometimes may happen. But we're talking about a man that walks in darkness. So a man is a lying when he says he has fellowship, but yet he walks in darkness. He said, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us. And that word cleanses, it means it keeps on cleansing us. In other words, it's like in a present tense in the English. It means it keeps on cleansing us from all sin. So if we walk in the light, that is the light that we've got. Now remember, as we grow in our faith, God may give more light. So as we walk in the light, the Bible said, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So we have cleansing by walking in the light. Thank God for that. But look what he said in verse 8. Here's another lie. If we say that we have no sin, if we say that we have no sin, now notice the word sin is singular and is talking about not an action, but the sin principle, the very nature of sin. If we say that we have no sin, if somebody tells me that there's nothing in them that can sin, if they tell me that God has eradicated that sin nature, then they're saying we have no sin. Well, John said, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So you're lying to yourself. If you say that you have no sin, if you say that you do not have the sin principle, if you say that you do not have the sin nature, then you're lying, you're deceiving, friend, yourself, and you think you're deceiving everybody else, but we know the difference. Everybody knows that nobody's perfect, amen, except those that are trying to doctrinally believe in a doctrine that your conscience and your life cannot support. And then look what he said in verse number 9. If we confess our sins, the word confess means to say the same thing as another. And so what we're doing in confessing sin, we come into an agreement with God about our sin. God says you've sinned. And so when you confess that to God and say, God, I've sinned, you are agreeing with God. But until you agree with God, you're not going to get forgiveness for it. Confession is owning up to the fact before God that you have sinned. If we confess our sins, now in verse 8, we saw that the word sin is in the singular and it's talking about the sin principle, the very nature that causes you to sin. But in verse 9, the word sins is in the plural, and here it's talking about actions or the result of that sin nature. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank God, friend, He is faithful and then He is just. Aren't you glad for that? That is, He's faithful to His word. He's faithful to His covenant. He's faithful to what He told us He would do in forgiving us. And then He's just to forgive us. In other words, God's the one that set up the plan, not me. And God said if we'd confess, He'd forgive. And so when I confess, you know what He's got to do? He's got to be just in His promise and in His word. And He's just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this is not, dear friend, when I say confess our sins, this is more than some. Some believe that if you go and tell a priest about it, then he'll forgive you and you go on your way and just do it again. That's not it, neighbor. Confession is to say the same thing about it as God does. And so true repentance is getting right with God about that. And then he said in verse number 10, man lies about his fellowship in verse 6. He lies about his nature in verse number 8, but then he lies about his sinful actions in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So you can say that you're perfect all day long, but I know you're not. Your conscience tells you that you're not, but most of all, God says you're not. And if you're trying to say that you are, you're lying. You say, well, preacher, should not we strive to be holy? Yes. Should not we strive to be perfect? Yes. The Bible says, how shall we that are dead to sin continue therein any longer? In other words, if you're saved, you don't want to sin and you want to live a right life, but because you've got the sin nature, you still will sin. Amen. But what the Bible is saying is when you do sin, you're to confess that, amen, you're to get forgiveness of that, and then you're to turn and try to live better and right, amen. Listen, if we do not pray and ask God for forgiveness, then our sin is still with us. Now, let me give you in the remaining part of the message today. So we see the reality of unconfessed sin. People live. If you're listening to me and you're not daily, if you're not sometimes hourly, sometimes moment by moment saying, Lord, forgive me, then your fellowship could be broken and you, dear friend, would be experiencing the results of unconfessed sins in your life. And I want to give you about 8 of these real quick. And I don't know if I'll have time to turn to all of them, but we'll get in as many as we can. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, we find out that unconfessed sin interrupts our fellowship with God. The Bible says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, if you're walking in darkness, you do not have fellowship with God. Let me ask you, how long has it been since your joy has just overflowed? You remember the day when you'd go to the house of God and you'd just get so happy in the Lord and the joy in your heart. Well, is it like that today? Could it be, neighbor, that you've got sin that you're looking over and that you're trying to cover up and you're trying to deny and you're trying to justify yourself in it? And could it be that that unconfessed sin is broken the fellowship between you and God and you do not feel His presence and His joy and His peace like you ought to because sin has so broken that fellowship? Then number 2, let me hasten to say that sin will hinder certain ministries of the Spirit of God. Sin will hinder certain ministries of the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. And so when we grieve the Spirit of God, that means that we are quenching him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, the Bible says to quench not the Spirit. And so when we grieve the Spirit of God, and when we quench the Spirit of God, that means that he is not having his way in our lives like he needs to have and like he ought to have. And so sin grieves the Spirit of God, and sin quenches the Spirit of God, and it will hinder the ministry of the Spirit of God in our lives. Let me illustrate for you. The Bible says in Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Spirit of God's ministry is to lead us. Jesus said that the ministry of the Spirit of God is to teach us. Paul wrote in Romans 8 that the ministry of the Spirit is to bear witness with our spirit, and it is to lead us and make intercession for us. And so the Spirit of God seeks to minister to us if we are right with God in ways that will advance us in our Christian experience and mature us and use us in Christian service. But if you are not right with God, if you've got unconfessed sins, then all of those ministries kindly are put on hold, and the Spirit of God will be seeking to convict you and to lead you to repentance. So instead of blessing you in other areas, the Spirit of God is having to deal with you in the area of sin. So when you've got unconfessed sin, it hinders certain ministries of the Spirit of God. And then let me say this, that unconfessed sin will hinder your spiritual growth. It will hinder your spiritual growth. In 1 Corinthians in chapter number 3, Paul said, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but now look, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hereto ye were not yet able. And he said, for ye are yet carnal, for there is among you, now watch, envy, strife, and divisions. Are ye not carnal and walk as men? So they had sin in their life. They were carnal. They had envy, they had strife, and they had division. All of that is elements of unrighteousness and sin in their lives. And so that sin in their life, it kept them from maturing. Paul said, you're not able to bear the meat. He said, I've had to feed you the milk because you're carnal. You're still a babe. So they were not growing like they should have been because they had sin in their life. And again, it was hindering the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And if you have unconfessed sin in your life, it will hinder your spiritual growth. This is what Paul meant, or the writer of Hebrews rather, in Hebrews 5:11-12, for whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Look now, seeing ye are dull of hearing, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. So these believers were spiritually stunted. They were still on the milk. They ought to have been a teacher by now, the writer says, but they need that somebody go back and teach them again the ABCs. So sin hinders spiritual growth. And then in Hebrews chapter number 12, verses 5 through 11, we find out that sin, if it is unconfessed, will bring the chastisement of God upon you. The Bible said, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. So why does God chasten us? He said, furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. See, there's something wrong. Which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of the spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, God's doing it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. So sin will bring the chastening hand of God upon you in your life. Unconfessed sin. You see, neighbor, you can cover it, and it might save your pride a little bit for a while, but God's going to bring it out. But the best thing we can do is to humble ourselves before God and admit to God that we are, even though we're saved, even though we're sons of God, even though we're on our way to heaven, we need to admit to God that we are sinners by nature and that we fail and that we come short. And when we recognize what we have said, thought, or done is wrong, we ought to say, God, forgive me for Jesus' sake, and ask God to cleanse us from that. And if you don't, then you're going to suffer the chastening hand of God. And I see people that I can't really say who's God's chastening, who he's not, but sometimes it almost seems pretty evident. When folk get out of the will of God, they give up on church, they got sin in their life, and then all these calamities and troubles happens, and you're thinking, well, God may be chastening them. My, my. In Psalms chapter number 32, David is showing us that sin can cause physical and emotional suffering. David said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Listen now, when I kept silence, that is before David repented, he said, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand, that's talking about conviction, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. And then he said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. You see, David was talking about how psychologically, how emotionally, and even physically his sin was affecting his life. And I really believe that, not every case, but I believe a lot of times that's what's wrong with folk. That's why people are so miserable, because they need to get right with God, neighbor. You may say, preacher, that's too simplistic. I beg your pardon. I've got Bible for it. If you'll get right with God, it'll take care of a lot of the issues that you may be having psychologically, physically, and emotionally. Amen. And then in Psalm 66:18, David said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So unconfessed sin hinders our prayer life. Are you listening? It hinders our prayer life. God will not answer our prayers. And then let me say this, it'll bring shame when exposed at the day of judgment. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So God, dear friend, will bring it into judgment and will suffer shame for it at the judgment seat of Christ. That is that unconfessed sin. And then lastly, and I'm done, it incurs a loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Unconfessed sin will bring, dear friend, a loss of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. But thank God, you can have restoration through the confession of your sins. There is a judicial forgiveness, and then there is a parental forgiveness. And I'm glad that God can forgive his children of their sins. Well, write to us. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 312, Cornelia, Georgia, 30531. You can go to my website, KeithAllisonMinistries.com. You can call or text, area code 706-968.
97.5 Glory FM is WGTJ Murrayville Gainesville and W248DL Murrayville Gainesville.